Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
Yes, Lord, you deserve nothing less. You loved us with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You came down and was subject to the same restrictions we were. Set aside your omnipotence, your omniscience, and your omnipresence. And died the shameful death on the cross. Went to hell. You loved us with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You screamed on the cross, "It is finished." You gave everything. And like the Apostle Paul said, "Lord, if one died for all, then we're all dead. That we which live should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto you who died for us." We worship you. As we go into your word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, yea, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, I have a very important message. It is an instructional present truth message to prepare us for the imminent coming of the Lord. And I have, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me, entitled it Establishing Your Heart. I first of all wrote establish. The Holy Spirit said, establishing means it is a present continuous thing that we must continue to do unto the coming of the Lord. And our text, main text, we're going to have quite a number of texts, but the first one and the main one is from James chapter 5. James is one of the ones I call them the perfection epistles. James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, all of those epistles talk about perfection and give you the wisdom, you know, instructions and wisdom as to how to go into perfection. So in James chapter 5 in verse 7, it says, I like that. Keep playing that. Record it so that it can play back by itself so that you can concentrate on the message. It's a lovely, lovely song. You know, some of these other old songs have so much anointing on them. Some of our modern songs don't have, because the people who wrote them don't know God. They're just entertaining. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's what Jesus said. They said, what is the great commandment of the law? Old and New Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not an appeal. It's a commandment. That's what I'm going to be talking about. Be patient, therefore. And incidentally, you know, Pastor Andrew, they chose this hymn without knowing what I was going to preach. So when I saw it this morning, I said, wow, that's good. They chose it by themselves. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Talk to your neighbor, say, he's talking to you and I. For we be brethren. God forbid if you're not a brother. As you're born again, you're a child of God. Be patient, therefore, brethren. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with us this afternoon? Unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath little patience for it. Until he, that is the earth, this old English, receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Stop. You know what he's telling you? God is patient. So you too must learn to be patient. See, God is the husbandman. Jesus said, I am the vine. You know, my Father is the husbandman. So God is the husbandman. God is patient. So he said, be ye also. Also means like God, you know. See, since God is patient, you yourself must be patient. Establish your hearts. I didn't hear you. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let me just say some things off the bat. The implication of this state of this scripture is that if your heart is not established through patience, you will not be ready for the coming of the Lord. Say, for that's the reason. Like, because the reason why you have to be patient and establish your heart is because the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Now, James wrote this 2,000 years ago. If it was true then, how much more true is it today? Hence, this present truth prophetic message, well, it's not really, it is, you know, because it's something that's happening as I speak. You know, this present truth instructional message, you know, on establishing our hearts. First of all, let us define our heart, then we will now define what an established heart is. The heart, when the Bible speaks about heart here, like when we're singing that song, it's not just talking about your spirit. It includes that, but you see, your inner man, I've used this in my illustration over the years, but I don't want to do that today because of time. You know, the inner man, you know, is, the Bible calls it the inner man. Then the inner man is spirit and soul. The Bible talks about dividing asunder spirit and soul. They're in one thing, but there is a demarcation between the spirit and the soul. The soul is up here, the mind, the will, and the emotions. The spirit is the rest of the inner man. When you get born again, what gets born again is your spirit. But your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, that's what the Bible calls your heart. So when we're talking about your heart here, we're talking about loving God with your mind, like we sang, loving God with your will, loving God with your emotions. And I'm not going to shock you, you know, unless you're honest and you've really examined yourself, you may not have come to this truth, to this realization. Many of us don't love God in our emotions. We still love the world. That's why you see, if I told you, for example, if I said, oh, come and spend 2 or 3 hours in prayer, the flesh retracts. Don't want to do that. God doesn't love it. But if he's going to spend 2 or 3 hours watching television or watching a movie or, you know, going out to party with a friend, then we like that. Not, those things are not necessarily sinful, but sometimes, many times rather, we love those things more than we love God. God confronted me with this many years ago. He said, you still love those things. And he said, I don't even mind you enjoying those things, for I've given you all things to enjoy richly. He said, but you must never love them more than me. So I, by the grace and the mercy of God, began a transformation process. And I can say now, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is in, and I'm still working on it. That's why I use the word establishing. You know, that from that time when he spoke and he corrected me to now, I can honestly say I love God more now, you know, than any of those things. That I still like some of those things. I still enjoy them. But I don't love them more anymore than God. John, warning us about this, he said, you know, in 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is, he said that, you know, if any man love the world, he said the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and he names them, the lust of the flesh, that is the things our body desires, things like food, sleep, sex, you know, the things the physical body loves, the lust of the eyes, which is the mind, you know, things, the intellectual, you know, people love, and I'm one of those, you know, I'm changing, and I've changed, you know, I like to, you know, make inquiry, you know, and study, you know, physics and maths and all of those things. And there's nothing wrong in all those things. Don't misunderstand me. God wants us to have knowledge. But you see, when your quest and your love for those things supersedes your love for God, let me put it this way. When you enjoy those things more than you enjoy God, there's a problem. So you can begin to locate yourself. And many of us are like that. The loss of the eyes. You know, that's the things that the mind likes. Some people like, you know, this is not flesh now because it's not a physical. It has to do with the mind, you know. We love, you know, the things of the world. You know, we love television. We love, you know, not necessarily pleasures of the flesh, but pleasures of the mind. Entertainment. Movies. Plays. And again, I want to put a balance here. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But you see, when my love for them supersedes my love for God, I got a problem. And many of us are still there. Then the pride of life. The love for recognition. The love of titles. The love, you know, for human adulation. When people, you know, talk about you and you know, what Martin Luther King Jr. called, you know, the drum major instinct. The desire to lead the parade. You know, I remember, you know, I still have the book with me. You know, Martin Luther King Jr.'s, some of his messages. And there's a chapter called The Drum Major Instinct. He said, you know, we all like it when people say good things about us, even when they are not true. We love flattery. You know what the man is saying is not true. But because he's saying it about you and he's saying in front of a lot of people, there's this warm glow. We all feel the desire to lead the parade, the desire for recognition, the desire for the love of the applause of men. Again, it is not as if that is totally wrong. It is just that this is the fact, folks. Once it is more than the love of God, there's a problem. And when we like those things, you know, recognition. You go to a place, for example, nobody knows who you are, and you're sitting at the back. You know, and there are other people come, and the whole ceremony goes on. You are not even acknowledged. And yet, you are looking at yourself and say, ah, look at these people. They don't even know who I am. You know, nobody, they couldn't even. And you feel bad. You feel you have been disrespected and dishonored. If that feeling is still strong, God still has a lot of work to do on you. You know why? Your sense of worth, your sense of acknowledgement should come from God. If God lets men say it, great. If even they don't say it, it doesn't change who you are. Because you are who God says you are, not what men say you are. But it takes time to get there. I know what I'm talking about because I have been and I still am metamorphizing over the years. At the time, those things used to disturb me. To the glory of God, I can say this honestly. It doesn't disturb me anymore. You know why? I know who I am in God. And my satisfaction, I'm looking for another word. But let me use the word satisfaction for now until God gives me another one. You know, my sense of fulfillment comes from knowing God has approved of me. So whether men approve of me or not, it really makes no matter to me. If they do, praise God, and I can use it to talk about God. But if they don't, it doesn't change who I am. But it takes time to get there. Hence this message. The established heart, God gave me a wonderful definition. In the middle of the night, from last night, you know, as I began to pray the message, he had given me the message about a week or two ago, you know. You know, that's what God does. He will download a message for me. Then he will start building it up, talking to me when I'm praying. And then I'll have my Bible. I'll just write. I have this prayer diary. You know, I'll just write something today. I might write something else tomorrow. Then when I now want to preach it on Sunday, on Saturday, I now sit down under God in the morning when I'm praying and put everything together. So the Lord told me, he said, you should train your soul. Watch this. This is a definition of an established heart. You should train your soul the same way I instructed people to train their children. Hear the word of the Lord. It's Psalm 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way in which it should go, and when it is old, he will not depart from it. Now, let me apply it to this establishing of your heart. If you will train your will to be humble, to submit to the will of God when you don't feel like it, if you will train your mind with revelation knowledge, so it is used to receiving light from God. If you will train your emotions with the fruit of the Spirit, when your heart becomes established, it will never depart from those things. That is the definition of an established heart. An established heart, I wrote here in capitals. An established heart is a heart, and we're talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions now. We're not talking about your spirit. An established soul or an established heart is one that through training and process has become established in humility. It has become established in revelation knowledge. It has become established in the fruit of the Spirit. So I now wrote this in brackets. He says, that kind of heart cannot, underline the word cannot, continue in sin. The heart is addicted. The Holy Spirit gave me these things. You know what an addiction is? If people who use cocaine, God forbid, and all those kind of things, if they don't get the fix, they don't get the dose of cocaine or the drug, you know, they're totally unsettled. That's because he called them a drug addict. The established heart is addicted to humility. The established heart is addicted to revelation knowledge. The established heart is addicted to the fruit of the Spirit. If anything happens and it goes out of that mode of operation, it will get terribly disturbed. And it will immediately come back. Not that it cannot sin, but it cannot continue in sin. It's not possible. If it continues, it's not established. When the heart becomes established, it will never go out of the operation of humility. It will never go out of the operation of revelation knowledge, because that's where it gets his, that's where he gets his thrills from, so to speak. You know, the light that comes from God, the Holy Spirit, through his human spirit into his mind. You know, he gets addicted to the fruit of the Spirit. And if it's not love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gender, anything that's outside of that, it becomes very disturbed. It gets back. It cannot continue in sin. It's addicted. You know, the Holy Spirit gave me, said it to me like this, so that we can use it to check ourselves. Are you addicted to humility? Is that what you are used to doing? That's what your will is used to. Are you addicted to revelation knowledge? I was sharing with Pastor Andrew and my wife and I, and Yemisi, we went somewhere yesterday, went to Jebu, then we'll come back, we're listening to all these David Ingalls songs, you know, and kind of Copeland and all of that, and we're having a great time. Then another set of songs came up. So and I said to Yemisi, I said, can you see the difference? None of the other songs were bad, but there was a certain drop in the anointing. Because you see, one set of songs were based on the word and were given revelation. So there was a certain level of pleasure. There was a certain level of ministration that they were giving. The other one too was singing, but it wasn't with that level. And you could tell the difference. We had a great time. So what am I saying? I'm telling us that when you become addicted to humility, you know what? Pride becomes an abomination to you. And that's exactly what the Bible says about God. Your heart is becoming like God's. Pride is an abomination. He said there are six things, yea, seven, that God hates. Number one, a proud look. If you see anything like pride around you, it disturbs you. If you listen to a message or you read a book, you know, or you hear Christian music and there is no revelation knowledge, you're not. But the grace of God, that's how I have become over the years. I'm still working on it. I'm still establishing my heart, you know. But I've got to, I am getting to the place where I have no taste for it. I'm addicted to that now. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience. I'm addicted to it. Addicted. If I don't have it, I'm not okay. So prayer, for me now, is no longer something that somebody has come and tell me and beg me to do. That's what I live by. If I don't pray, I can't operate. Because that's where I get these things from. I get more humility. I get more revelation. I get more of the fruit of the Spirit. If I don't have it, I'm like a junkie that hasn't had his fix. I'm addicted. Addicted to the life of God. Addicted to the Word of God. I can't go for long without the Word of God. I can't go for long without prayer. I can't go for long, you know, without the fruit of the Spirit. I just won't feel okay. When you start having that experience, you're becoming established. Your heart is, train up a child. Train up your heart. Apply to the heart now. In the way, and when it is old or when it becomes established, it won't depart from it. Never. All these things of the world, you know, I see through the thing. You know, the things of the world now, they really hold very little attraction to me. Because I can see through it. And it doesn't do anything. It doesn't excite me. It doesn't, like it used to. It used to. But not anymore. God wants our hearts to become established. Because it is the established heart that can receive the coming of the Lord. When we talk about the coming of the Lord, we have to understand we're talking about the Lord coming to his church in the spirit, with the Spirit without measure. My very good friend, Professor Fred Adekoke, wrote an article recently I sent to the pastors. It's called, you know, A New Visitation. He put a question mark. You know, beautiful article. And he said this, you know, similar to what I've said over the years, but I like the way he said it. You know, he added a few more things. He said that The coming of the Lord is in four stages. I have preached it in three stages. He said four, but it's actually the same thing. He said he's going to come in us, then he's going to come to us, then he's going to come for us, then he's going to come with us. I've never added the to us because I've just talked about the in us. But if you think about it, Pastor Fred is spot on. Because when he comes in us in his fullness, that is with the Spirit without measure, and the glory of God begins to manifest, that glory that begins to manifest through us comes to the other people around us. So it comes in us, to us. Then in us, to us. In us, to us. In us, to us. And what? It spreads in the whole church. Give the Lord a clap of praise. That's how it's going to come. It's not going to come with everybody at first. It will come in a small number of people. In us. Then those small people, as they begin to manifest, it will now go to others. Then those that it goes to will not get the hunger. It will not come in them. Then they too will now send to other people. Then it's like a chain reaction. The whole church will get a visitation.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.